Tonight I'm going to preach a little bit on how to think, and we're going to use that verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 that we read a moment ago. How we think as individuals is important. I read a story this week that sort of illustrates this. You know, the way we think impacts how we perceive the world. I read a story about a man who had a leak in his roof. It was right over his dining room table. And he called a repairman in to fix his roof. And the guy looked at it and said, "Well, when did you realize that your roof was leaking?" He said, "I realized it last night when it took me 2 hours to eat the bowl of soup that I was eating." And so how we think, that wasn't very good. But thank you for laughing anyway. But how a person thinks is important. In the book of Proverbs, verses 23, verse 7, the Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And how we think determines who we are and what kind of person we are. We've been studying in the book of Romans, chapter 12, for the last 3 or 4 weeks on Wednesday night. And in the first verse of Romans chapter 12, Paul beseeches his brethren, the Christians that are at the church at Rome, both Jews and Gentiles, that they present their bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is their reasonable service. And then in verse 2, he writes, "And be not conformed, be not pressured, be not molded by this world, but be transformed." And we've talked about what that word transformed means. It means being changed at your very nature, being changed down at the depths of who you are. Like this morning we were talking about the heart in Sunday school, the center of everything we are. Paul would say that's where you need to be transformed. That's where you need to be changed. And he tells us how God brings about that change, by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. You know, the Bible says when we get saved, it says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And so when we get saved, God makes everything new. And the way that he does that is he works on our mind. He works on how we think. Because as we think, that's how we are. That's how, as that verse in Proverbs say. And so he makes all things new by renewing our mind, by changing the way we think. And the way we think is important. So important that God gives us pointers in the Bible. He gives us suggestions in the Bible. He gives us commands in the Bible. He gives us principles in the Bible, whatever you want to call them, about how to order our thinking as a Christian. How to order our thinking as he works on our mind and the way we think to make all things new, to transform us again at the very basis of who we are. And so one of the verses that he gives us is that verse that we read a moment ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so in that verse, we find two instructions for how we're to think. We find two instructions from the God who wants to transform us by renewing our mind. We get two instructions for how we should think. First of all, he says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and then bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so tonight, for my message, I just want to look at those two instructions. I want to explain to you what they mean, and I want to encourage you to order your thinking according to these instructions, according to these principles. So, the first instruction is casting down imaginations. Now, in the Greek, that word doesn't mean exactly what we think about when we use the word imagination today. You know, imagination today, when I say that word, you think about daydreaming. You think about imagining different things. But that's not what it means in the Greek. What it means in the Greek is the mental reasoning that we as human beings go through and the conclusions that we come to as a result of our thought processes. And so we receive information. It comes to us in a lot of different ways. It comes to us in what we see. It comes to us in what we hear. It comes to us in what we feel. And so we get information a lot of different ways. We process. We think it through. And then we come to a conclusion based on that information. I'm sure that all of us, either yesterday or the day before that, we said something like this. Well, I think. I think this. You fill in the blank. I think. And we thought something about the guy thinking, well, my roof must be leaking because my soup bowl kept filling up as I ate. It was like the widow's barrel of meal and the pot of oil that never run out. He came to the conclusion that his roof leaked. Well, as you process information that you received the last few days, you came to a conclusion about something. That's what that verse means when it says imaginations. The conclusion that we come to with our thought process after we receive information. And so the instruction in that verse is to cast down our imaginations. To cast them down. And what that means is to remove them from a position of influence. Are you with me so far? To remove our imaginations, our thought processes, our reasoning, our conclusions that we come to is to cast them down, remove them from influencing how we think. Because most of our imaginations, most of our mental reasoning, most of our conclusions do exactly what that verse says. They exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And most of the conclusions that we as human beings come through when we go through our mental gyrations and we process data come to the conclusion is just the opposite of what God, how God wants us to think. He told us in Isaiah chapter 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So, let me give you an example. Okay? Just give you an example so you get try to catch what I'm saying tonight. Let's talk about a teenager, 15 or 16 years old. And you go to that teenager and you say, "Hey, what's the most important thing in your life? What's the most important decision that you're facing? What are you thinking about?" Some of them will say, "Well, the most important thing in my life, the most important concern in my life is my education. I want to finish high school. I want to go to college. I want to get a degree." And I want to tell you tonight, education is important. I believe education is important. I believe everybody ought to finish high school. I believe everybody ought to get some training after they get out of high school. I think God is pleased with that. And again, I prayed with a teenager about 4 weeks ago about which college that she should consider as she's thinking about college. And again, some 15, 16 year olds say that's the most important. And again, I'm not talking about boys and girls. I know that ranks up there somewhere, but I'm talking about the decisions that's going to impact the rest of their life. Some of them would say, "My education is the most important thing on my mind, on my heart. I'm praying about, you know, where I should go." Others may say, "I think the most important thing in my life is who am I going to marry? My partner, my spouse." They will influence who I am as a person. They will influence the kind of life that I have. They will influence the kind of family that I have. And again, I want to tell you tonight, I think who you marry is important. I think that's an important decision. I don't believe Christians should even date the lost. That way you don't have to worry about being unequally yoked together. And so that's an important concern. Okay? You ask somebody else, they say, "Well, the most important concern in my life is my occupation. the type of job I'm going to get, the profession I'm going to take part in, how I'm going to spend my life making a living. And so our imaginations, our thought processes, they take all this data in, and we come to this conclusion, hey, the most important thing in my life is my education. The most important thing in my life is who am I going to marry. The most important thing in my life is how I'm going to spend my my working life, how I'm going to make a living, how am I going to support my family. And that's what our thought process, our imaginations come to. And here's what God says. Here's what God says. The most important thing in a young person's life is to know Jesus as their Savior and to find His will for their life. That's the most. Again, His ways are higher. Now, again, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And again, all those things are important, but that's not the most important thing that a young person should be thinking about. The most important thing a young person should be thinking about is, do I know Jesus Christ as my Savior? Have I accepted Him and what He purchased on Calvary for me to pay for my sins, as Brother Wayne's testified a minute ago, and get me to heaven? That's the most important thing. Am I saved? Am I right with God? And what's His will for my life? Because I want to tell you, God's will is always good. Again, that verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that the will of God is good and perfect. And we talked about it on Wednesday night. It's to test God's will and know that it's always right. It's never wrong. And it's acceptable. It's acceptable to God, but it becomes acceptable to us as we try it. And the will of God is more important than all those other things. And the will of God encompasses all those other things. Jesus said one time, What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I want to tell you something tonight. You can get a great education. You can be the most well-educated person that ever walked the face of the earth. You can marry the perfect person. You can pick the perfect husband, if there is such a thing, and the perfect wife. You can pick them. And you can have an occupation where you influence the world. You can have an occupation that gives you a sense of satisfaction. But if you die and go to hell, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. And so the Apostle Paul says, take your imaginations, take your thoughts, and cast them down. Throw them down. Don't let them have any influence in your life. In the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what that verse is saying? Cast down your imaginations. Cast down the conclusions, the mental reasoning that you come to. And it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. When we acknowledge that God is God, and that He loves us, that He sent Jesus to die for us, and when we accept Christ, and then realize that He has a perfect will for our life, finding that will becomes the most important thing that we can do. And again, I believe God has a will for all those things we talked about. I believe for a Christian young person, God has a will for their education. I believe for a Christian young person, God has a will for who He wants them to marry. I believe for a Christian young person, God has a will for their occupation. And we just need to cast down our imaginations. We need to cast down our thought processes and lean upon the Lord, trust in Him, find His will, and walk in that will. In Proverbs 28, verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Listen, why should I depend on the conclusions that I can come to when God makes His will available for my life available to me? Why would I think that I know more than God about what He wants me to do with my life? Why would I think that I know more about God, about who I should marry? Why would I think that I know more about God for the kind of, about the education that I get, or for anything in my life? I use young people as an example, but it's true for every single person in this room tonight. Why do you have the audacity to think that you know what's better for you than the one who created you? Why do you have the audacity, and why do I have the audacity to think that I know more about God, the almighty, omnipotent God, the one who made the world and holds it all together? Why would any of us think that we know more about how to spend our life than he does? The Bible says we're a fool. Say, preacher, I don't think you should call people. I'm not calling you fools. God is. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at him. We're a fool if we think we know more about God. So he says, cast down your imaginations. Cast down the conclusions that you come to. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to thine own understanding. And he'll direct our paths. So we need to cast down our imaginations. Number two, we need to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now again, that word thought means my mental perception. What our mind produces, again, as we process information. And what that verse says, every one of those perceptions, every one of those conclusions that I come to, I need to put them, bring them into captivity. I need to squash their freedom. I need to lock them up. I need to put them on a ball and chain. However you want to think about it, we need to bring them into captivity and bring them into the obedience of Christ. In other words, I don't let my thoughts run wild. I take them into captivity. I only think those things that shows my obedience to my Savior. Jesus was our example. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to think like Jesus thought. When Jesus walked the face of the earth, he said on many occasions, I did not come to do my will. I came to do the will of the Father that sent me. I didn't come to figure out what I'm supposed to do. I came with a mission. I came with instructions. I came with orders from my Father. And again, my purpose in coming is to fulfill his will. Paul wrote in that same book, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on those things. So what God's saying, if something's not true, don't think about it. Bring your thoughts into captivity. I am not going to spend any time thinking about anything that's not true. That's what God says. He says, if it's not honest, don't think about it. What it means is, I'm not going to spend a moment of thought on thinking about something that's dishonest. If it's not just, don't spend any time thinking about it. If it's not pure, if it's not lovely, if it's not of a good report, don't think about it. Bring your thoughts into captivity. And the only thing that we should think about are those things that God tells us to think about, the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, things that are lovely, of good report. Bad thinking leads to bad living. Listen, bad thinking leads to bad living. Go back to Isaiah 14. Read about Lucifer. Read about the rebellion that he led in heaven. It started with bad thinking. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit upon the mount. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Bad thinking led Satan to rebel against God. bad thinking led Satan to be cast out of heaven. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, the first sin. Eve's sin, her disobedience to God when she ate the fruit. Again, Satan tempted her, but she saw that the tree was... She said, hey, that tree, my mental reasoning, my mental processes say, that fruit looks good. It looks like it would be good to eat. My mental processes says that it's desirable because it will make me wise. It'll make me like God. Now, God had said, don't eat it or you're going to die. And what she needed to do was cast down her imagination, her mental processes, her thoughts, and bring her thoughts into captivity, bring her thinking into captivity, and only think about those things that led to obedience to God. If she would have done that, she wouldn't have ate the fruit. She wouldn't have disobeyed God. And so again, casting down our imaginations and bringing our thoughts into captivity and keep them obedient to Christ. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, the Bible says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We need to fix our mind on God. And he promises, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Same thing applies to our salvation. You know, people think, well, I know better than God. God says we're all sinners. And we say, well, I'm not so bad. I may not be perfect, but there's... I can always find somebody that's worse than I am. And if God says that everybody's a sinner, I'm sure it applies to that person over there more than it does to me. We need to cast down those imaginations. We need to bring our thoughts into obedience to Christ. God says the wages of sin is death. Man's imagination say, well, God loves people too much to send them to hell. A loving God would never even create a place called hell. He would never create a place of fire. He would never create a place of the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. We need to cast down that imagination. We need to bring our thoughts into captivity and be obedient to God. God says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God says, you put your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. You put your trust in what he did on Calvary to pay for your sins. And that's it. That's all you need to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we add all sorts of things to it. Well, I have to get baptized. I have to take communion. I have to join the church. I have to turn over a new leaf. Yeah, all those things are good. But God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Why do we think we know more about salvation than God does? You're here tonight, you've never received Christ. I encourage you, cast down your imagination. You don't know better than God does. When it comes to salvation, he knows a whole lot more than you do. Cast down your... bring your thoughts into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. We need to do that in every area of our life. That's how to think. That's how to think to please God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the simplicity of your word. Thank you for the instructions that you give us as to how we ought to order our thoughts. And I pray tonight, Father, I pray that we would be transformed, changed at our very nature by the renewing of our mind. And we follow these instructions. Father, I do pray if there's somebody here that's never received Christ, they quit trying to figure out how to do it on their own. They would simply trust you, and they would come to Jesus and receive the gift of salvation that he purchased for them on the tree of Calvary. There's just one person here tonight, doesn't know for sure they're saved, doesn't know for sure they're on their way to heaven. I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you would convict them of their sin, you would show them the price that was paid for it, and they would come and receive Christ tonight. Speak to our hearts, all of our hearts tonight. If there's something that we need to do, help us to do it tonight. For I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.